Okay, that's 5:30 by every watch in the room. So I will go ahead and call this April 26, 2018 meeting of the Carson City Library Board of Trustees to order. And we can proceed with the roll call.
Chairperson Hayes?
Present.
Vice Chair Long?
Here.
Trustee Liberati?
He has an excused absence.
Trustee Patton?
Here.
Trustee Sullinger?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Moving on to item two, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the board, now would be the time. Seeing none forthcoming, we'll move on to item three, approval of the meeting minutes from the previous meeting. Did everybody have an opportunity to review the minutes, and were there any corrections necessary? Okay. If not, I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as presented.
I second.
Okay. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item four, the Friends of the Carson City Library report.
The report is in your packet. I will just add a reminder to that our author of the month for May is going to be at the Rouser's Corner Bookstore, 711 East Washington Street, on Tuesday, May 1st at 6:30 p.m. That will be Sandy Lene, who bills herself as an intuitive psychic, and she's talking about her book called Weird Carson City. So come and see what makes Carson City weird.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Moving on to item five, the Library Board of Trustees business, beginning with item A, travel funds.
Okay, so essentially the background to this, the National Medal finalists have been selected. We were a finalist. We have not heard if we are a winner. At this point in time, they did say late April. That means they have all the way until Monday. And what we wanted to do here is ensure what they do ask is that the director and a community member go to receive the award. Now, we do have an idea of a community member that we would like to take with us. And there's a lot of different options and who we could take, but have all of you seen the video on Mario? I'll go ahead and show it during my report, but I'll let him present. I was gonna ask if you could take it out of order so he could present and then go. But we can go later. Anyway, so what this is it's to approve not to exceed $3,500 for travel out of the gift fund to attend the ceremony if we are awarded as a winner. Pretty simple. Are there any questions? There is $3,500 in the gift fund under travel to take care of this.
That was my question.
I'll make a motion to approve. The $3,500 for travel, it is for the director and community member to travel.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Do you guys say aye?
Oh, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item 5B. Discussion and possible action on library director unclassified job performance appraisal review process.
So I was just asking Iris if we could take it out of order still, so that Mark could present. And she said, as long as it's on the record as we're taking it out of order, we can do that. And that would be item 5D.
Okay. In that case, for the record, we will be taking item 5D now out of order. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Mark Salinas. I'm the Arts and Culture Coordinator for Carson City. I'm happy to be here this evening. A lot of familiar faces in the community I recognize already. I'm here tonight to give the trustees an update on some very good news that's around the corner. Actually, this started last year, about fall, winter 2016. The National Endowment of the Arts, a federal organization, put out a contest, more or less, for what is called the Big Read Grant. This is a literary award that's given annually to 75 organizations across the United States. It is in partnership with Artworks and Art Midwest, and it's an initiative of the National Endowment of Arts in partnership with Arts Midwest. The NEA Big Read broadens our understanding of our world, our communities, and ourselves through the joy of sharing a good book. Out of the 75 recipients nationwide, they choose communities and challenge them to create 30 days of programming based upon a pre-selected novel. There's about 25 pre-selected novels that they rotate every year. All the essays that you submit have to be built upon this novel. And the novel that was, the one I chose, was Charles Portis's True Grit, 1870s timeline, Western. The boot seemed to fit for Carson City, a lot of pre-existing elements here. And even in the storyline itself, Maddie Ross, the 14-year-old, is juxtaposed to the cankerous Rooster Cogburn. And just as there's that dualism of old and new, so too did I want to take some of the pre-existing elements here in Carson City and sort of give it a new spin. The maximum amount for the award is $20,000, and we were awarded $14,000. We are the only recipient in the state this year, and the last recipient in Nevada was 8 years ago. This is a letter I received from in the mail from the governor congratulating us. One of the elements in the essay I wrote in partnership with our city library and our state museum was that if you award us this grant, we will pre-celebrate by creating a an NEA Big Read float for the Nevada Day Parade. Seated across from me is a true Carson City talent, Kathy Rush, who really spearheaded, volunteered a lot of time in creating this for her and her husband. The Western Nevada College Latino cohort, she invited into her home to help build this thing. So straight off the bat, there's a lot of synergy. This is this 50-foot long rattlesnake, and if you're familiar with the novel, rattlesnake plays a very important part of this novel. This 50-foot rattlesnake is currently, as of Sunday, installed in the WNC Bristlecone Gallery, which is where we will have our kickoff event. So it's a fantastic backdrop. And in my opinion, it's a piece of active Nevada history now that's been in the parade. So the essay that NEA chose that I wrote was taking the themes in the book and splintering them off into contemporary activities. One of the activities that we're presenting there at the WNC Gallery May 3rd is this True Grit art competition. So I've been collecting canceled decks of playing cards from four local casinos, Max, Nugget, Fandango, and Goldust West. Several pounds of these cards I have. And I put a call for artists. I didn't think I would have to say Nevada only, because this thing really blew up. There were even people who I sent decks of cards to that live in California who still have family here. This thing really reached statewide. Las Vegas, Costa Mesa and Vista, California, Incline Village, and Winnemucca are some of our furthest points that we have reached. And now the artwork is starting to come back. Last week, a woman who had never visited Carson City before drove up here from Las Vegas with her husband to deliver her work. Tomorrow, another artist from Winnemucca is driving up. This just came out today in Reno News and Reviews, and it really sheds light on all of the activities and all of the overlap, the fantastic city-state partnership, the fantastic non-for-profit commercial partnership, and the cross-section of the arts in Nevada. As a, my, as I think I'm quoted here, art is just not a painting on a wall with a spotlight on it. It's the literary arts. It's the culinary arts. And so it's with this entry step that I really want to engage a lot of new audiences here in Carson City. The awards for this, the four casinos will act as jurors in choosing first, second, and third, and the plaques are made by our local Rustically Divine, a new business here that opened in Carson City, and this was an article just the other day. The local Clampers group, historians in their own right, have volunteered to create four little libraries, design and build these things upon Western themes, and these will also be on display temporarily at the WNC Gallery. After the 1 month of being on display, Tina and I, we can choose areas of need and have these installed by Public Works to really have some memorable longevity to this event. Just today, this is a westward-facing wall in the corner of Proctor and Stewart. Through a RAC funding, there is a reimagined campaign that wants to address, through creative interventions, blight, commercial blight, commercial vacancy, and sometimes, you know, vandalism can surface when those arise. Just this morning, I've had a long day. Just this morning, two fantastic artists from Eureka, Dion and Trish Reynolds, put up a 9-foot by 22-foot-long wheat paste on the westward facing wall. This wall faces City Hall, it faces the brick, it faces the Laxalt building. You can see it from, Carson City. This is a depiction of a ranch outside of Eureka. But I wanted to take the RAC campaign and put it in parallel with this NEA grant. I think when we stack our assets like this, we get more bang out of our buck. So I urge you, please, to go see that. It's almost like looking into a viewpoint, a viewfinder, looking eastward. Still on the topic of the events for May 3rd, we will have Milo McCormick. He's a Silver City, roots in Silver City. His grandfather is actually Jim McCormick, who was an instrumental artist and educator at UNR. Shoe Tree Brewery is making their own True Grit beer to serve. Mitch Tufts, the WNC chef, is making buffalo sliders and grit shooters. We're really having a lot of fun with this. So please, I left all of you a calendar of events. If you need more, please distribute these to your friends and coworkers and family. That's from May 3rd. On May 4th, the Friday, we're screening the 1969 version of True Grit at the Brewery Arts Center. It's free with a valid library card. Glenn Wharton, the president of the Nevada Prison Historical Preservation Society, will be giving a keynote on that. And then finally, on Cinco de Mayo, we're going to wrap up the weekend here with a bang at the library, bringing in Dayton, Nevada's folkloric dance troupe. These are images taken from an event that I had commissioned them to do before. They are outstanding. And one of our cultural commissioners, Lupe Ramirez, who is a staffer at WNC, the founder of Latino Cohort, are going to be the same students that helped build the float with Kathy are going to be there to read essays of their own personal stories of True Grit, where they've used the True Grit to overcome problems. Also, Debbie Lambden, an artist, a book artist, will be there to give workshops at the library. There are 28 days between those that weekend and this last one, but I wanted to make mention of it because this is a cold call that I made to our marshal, our state marshal in Las Vegas, and he's going to come up here to Carson City and be the keynote speaker for a final presentation of the 2010 movie True Grit here at the Community Center. He's going to tell us what today's top cop as Marshall does vis-a-vis what we see on the big screen, what's depicted there either by Jeff Bridges or John Wayne. I'm also going to swing him by the Boys and Girls Club, where I'm a board member. I think his story is a really important one. And here's just a little recap of what we're doing. So I'm very happy to be working with the State Museum, the City Library. I look forward to being here in front of the trustees more often with more events that bring Carson City together creatively and collaboratively. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those at this time.
No questions. This is just really awesome. So it's a well put together event. It's exciting.
I have a question for you, Mark. Do you need books to fill those little libraries?
Thanks for reminding me.
We can take that.
That would be great.
Okay.
We have four of them, and maybe when I see you at the reception on the third, we'll take a closer look.
Okay.
And maybe even some measurements and figure out which would be the best books. And maybe the books can overlap with actually where we install these if there's mm-hmm. specific areas of need with specific interests.
I think it also could be fun to put some of the Combis collection in there.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Mr. Salinas, thank you so much for giving us this presentation, letting us know about what the NEA and you guys are doing. That's
thank
phenomenal.
You, sir. Thank you.
Okay, I believe that jumps us back to item 5B, the library director job performance appraisal review process.
Okay, so essentially the idea here is if we win the national medal, it falls on our next board meeting date, which is also my review date. And so we would need to tentatively assign a date for that meeting to be moved to if we are awarded the medal. If we're not awarded the medal, we can still have our normal meeting on that date. And so that's what we're looking at. What I did include in here as well is just kind of the background information of, you know, the blank 360 review that staff have been asked to fill out, my job description, a blank performance appraisal, my last year's performance appraisal, and then the communication consulting project that we've gone over prior, but that we essentially implemented for this year. So we're not doing anything necessarily with my review tonight, except for looking at other potential possible dates for that meeting. So I have the calendar for the Sierra Room, because it is pretty busy. So it looks like the 2 days that we could possibly kind of change this to easily would be either May 21st, which is a Monday, obviously in the evening, or May 29th, which is a Tuesday. That's the Tuesday right after Memorial Day weekend in the evening.
The 29th is best for me.
I can make the 29th happen.
I can make the 29th.
29th is fine.
So my recommendation would be to move it as a tentative date. That then the board, you know, between conversation with myself and the board chair, we can confirm once we do know if we won or did not win.
And we should know that soon.
We should know by Monday, hopefully. And it would be the normal 5:30 time.
Yeah, it sounds like the 29th would be good for everybody, so I would entertain a motion to that effect.
I'll move that we tentatively set the date of May 29th as our board meeting if we win the national award.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Right. Okay. That brings us to item 5C, looking at dates for the board retreat.
Okay. So we brought this to you before. I know that you guys kind of wanted to take a look at your calendars to see what worked best for you. Amy, I did send you a message. Did you reply back to me? No, I just sent you a message. Yeah, to see, because I do want all the managers to be able to attend, And Amy does have an engagement, I believe, on the 2nd, but I'm not sure if it goes on to the 3rd of June. Your sister's wedding? 30th of June. Okay. So we had a conversation last night, and I was like, oh, no. Anyway. Okay.
How many hours are we setting this for?
I would like it to be at least 6 hours. We're going to do some training in that, some trustee training, but also some pre-strategic planning and kind of visioning, and especially with the opportunity that has been presented to the library. I mean, each of you know about it with the Adams Hub for Innovation. I think that we're going to need to have some of that conversation and really have an idea of where we want to go with that as well. But I mean, at least 4 to 6 hours, I would say, for the retreat. We will have actual activities. You won't have to be just sitting there and listening to people talk the whole time.
Well, I just want to know, my husband does work out of town, and so the weekends that he's not home, I just wanted to make sure if it's a long time or not.
Totally understood. Totally understood.
June 3rd works for me. The other weekends, my husband's not home. But I can find, you know, if anybody else is available.
June 3rd would be fine for me.
It would not have been my first choice, but I'll make it work.
That's fine for now.
Okay.
Sounds like it may not have been the first choice for everybody, but sounds like we will be able to make that work. So I would entertain a motion to that effect.
I'll make a motion to hold the trustee retreat for Sunday, June 3rd.
Second that
emotion. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. All right. And with that, we will move on to item 6, the Library Director Administrative Reports, starting with the budget report, I believe.
Okay. So you do have the budget packet. There may be some upside down pages, and we are sorry about that, but we chose not to reprint all of them to save paper.
I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
So our revenue coming in, we're looking, the city fund is standing strong there. We do have grant funds at about 72,000, gift fund funds at 10,000, and Friends of the Library for this year at 87,000, and that's also with the information desk piece that was added as a special request at the end of 2017. You'll then see in expenses, our city general fund, we actually are underspent. 75% of the year has lapsed, and we are at about 68% spent. We do have salary savings. Some of our salary savings is continuing to grow a little bit here. We have offered and we have an acceptance for our creative learning manager. She is a teacher, and so she is working out her teacher contract before starting with us. So we're going to see a little bit more savings there. We then have, are there any questions on the city budget? On our expenses. Okay. So in our grant funding, we do still have quite a bit of funding to spend in our makerspace, but mainly what that is our maker in residence, which we are currently, Patrick Giraffe is contracted for our textile design. And then we are using Travis McDonald, who is our makerspace coordinator, for our soldering and laser cutting certifications. And then we will have one more before the end of the year is out. But what we have to remember too is the expenses on the city side does not hit for about 45 days until after 45 days. So what you're seeing here is expenses that were the end of February. So we've actually spent more than this, but this is what has hit the city's system. The statewide reading program that the state library is doing, they have changed what they are doing, and they're now offering micro grants. And those grants are, there's a $3,000 grant and a $2,000 grant, and you can request them at any point in the year, and you can use them for a variety of things. So we will be going ahead and applying for that for our summer learning challenge, but it's not going to show up in that line item again, just so you guys are aware of that. Are there any questions with the grant funding? Okay, moving on to the gift fund. Expenses are pretty much the same as our last meeting. We do have a few in our operating supplies. When we have somebody who pays for a book that they've damaged, that then goes into the library's gift fund, and then we purchase out of the gift fund to replace that item. And so that's what you'll see a lot of the times in operating and then in books and periodicals. Okay, so if there are no more questions related to the budget, I would like to show you the video about Mario. And I am on my phone's Wi-Fi because the city's Wi-Fi was not cutting it. So hold on just a moment. We'll see if this actually is going to work.
I mentioned to the gentleman that I was working with, there has to be something better than this. And he indicated that if there was, somebody would be making it. This was the most challenging device, and I found the solution very simple. The books that I read at the Carson City Library, where I did all my research, led me to the idea very quickly. Part of the fun is the actual research and progressing towards the discovery. If I never had a library card, none of this would have happened.
So, just to give context to that, that we found out that his story during the Share Your Story campaign, and how we found it out was actually through the Adams Hub. So the library, we are there as research ninjas every Wednesday from 2 to 5, helping businesses who are clients, but also just public, do some market research, use our databases to maybe find out who they can sell to, those different types of things. So it was, I think, the last Wednesday in March that I happened to be sitting in on the meeting with this group, Triforce, and he couldn't see my shirt, but he started to talk about his story, and he started to talk about the library, the Carson City Library, and I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me you did this all at the library. And he didn't just do it all at the library with us, you know, prompting him and help. He did ask staff for help, but he did his patent research as well as his design research at the library. So it's, I mean, this is why we exist, right? So we wanted to record his story, so we went ahead and did that. And we would like to take him to D.C. with us should we win the national medal. And he is now an incubating client, or Triforce is now an incubating client at the Hub. So kind of comes full circle. And he just, or Steve, his, Mario doesn't use computers, by the way. So he did all of this, so not just the importance of the library, but the importance of the printed material we have at the library. Right. So Steve, his business partner in this, emailed Diane this morning, early this morning, and said that they've had the busiest month they've had so far, thanks to the research we were able to help them find. So, all around, really good story. So if we do win, I think Mario will be our companion to DC as long as he's available to do so. That's all.
That's excellent. Thank you so much, Sina. With that, I believe we'll be moving on to item 7. The other administrative report, starting with the grants admin report.
Diane is not here. You do have your report in your packets, a written report.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Moving on to the access services update.
Kathy Rush, access services manager for the record. So in your packet, you have the April report for Access Services that highlights a couple of the more recent additions to our team. One is that the Carson City has asked all the agencies, or all the departments, I should say, to keep track of receivables and account for receivables a very specific way, and gave us a stamp to do it, as well as a procedure for the most part, not a very specific procedure, but guidelines. And so now when we receive materials and supplies at the library, we follow the guidelines that they have provided. And in order to implement that, I came up with actually it was Sina's idea. It was a really good idea. A binder with everyone's name section for everyone who does typically receive items. And so it's very clear, hopefully, for the people that do receive how to do that correctly and how to route everything so that it's all done according to the way it's supposed to be done. So, and then the other thing is that we now get some of our audiovisual materials sent to us from our main vendor, Baker & Taylor, with digital media processing, which means that they, not only do they provide a bibliographic record and item record, but also all the processing on the item itself, which is saving a lot of time in the back room. Not only does it come with a barcode, spine label, and that type of thing, but even down to things like genre stickers and collection labels and all that type of thing, movie rating is all embedded in the digital artwork so that it, in the long run, it'll save us money on purchasing that and applying it ourselves. So that is what's new in Access Services. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much, Kathy. And I do want to say that I approve of the mix that's in that second picture there.
That's all, baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, kids bop and all that. Yeah. In that case, we'll move on to our collection development report.
Amy Lauder, Collection Development, for the record. The main thing for this month in Collection Development land is our yearly Capital City Reads program sponsored by the Friends of the Carson City Library. And we had enough funding this year for about 100 books, including e-books in both English and Spanish, and copies of the paper book in English and Spanish. And to my knowledge, anybody can correct me, but I believe this is our first bilingual community read, which was kind of exciting for me. And I've wanted to do this book since last year because I thought I read about it, and the author's story, and felt it was very topical as well as a very engaging book. And so almost all of our books are gone, so I call that a good success. We had a film screening to go with it. On Tuesday, we had several people in attendance for that, so that was great. So yeah, that's our Capital City Reads. And again, I'm always talking about Overdrive because it's great. We had really, I was just kind of looking at numbers the other day, and we had a really cool milestone. Rachel's been saying for all year, she's like, I just want to hit over 2,000 checkouts in a month, like just get over that line. And we had 2,200 in March, which is, I was like, what is that compared to our total circulation? So for the month of March, it's about 10% of what our total like print and AV circulation was. For comparison, our Overdrive collection is about 4,800 items, ebooks, audiobooks, and video, which is probably a little under 5% of the size of our physical collection. So it's doing pretty well as a collection. So we're looking forward to investing more in that and keeping that going. And part of that did come from, I think part of what kind of pushed that over the edge was Overdrive started a program and we signed up for it over the winter, particularly when we were closed. Timing worked out, where people can sign up without already having a library card. They have a system that validates that person is within our service area based on their contact information and their zip code, and that says, yes, you live in this service area, yes, you can use this service. Because how online services work for libraries is they charge you based on your service area, not necessarily how many people are signed up. Everybody counts, so it works pretty well. And we've gotten maybe like 15 new signups on that each month, which is, and all those people, obviously people who like want to use the service, and they're all using it like a lot. So they've all checked out like at least 5 books that month, which is pretty good. So that was very exciting. And that's my report. Any questions?
Excellent. Thank you very much, Amy. Yes. All right. Moving on to item 8, did any board members have any announcements or requests for information? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 9.
So I was just going to make the comment that I've talked to all of you, but we are going to have a special meeting next Thursday at 5 p.m. here in the Sierra Room for the Adams Hub donation agreement. It will be posted tomorrow, and you will receive the detailed information, the agreement itself, and backup material for that once that is posted tomorrow.
Excellent. Thank you for that. With that, we'll move on to item 9, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the board, now would be the time. Seeing none forthcoming, we'll move on to item 10, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We are adjourned.